Hi, my name is Umut Akdem, and I'm working under Professor Dr. Nathaniel Craig. Our group is interested in physics beyond the standard model, and today I want to talk about how we can use the Higgs boson in the search for physics beyond the standard model. So Sam talked about this earlier, but I just want to remind you what the standard model is. So it is the most complete model of particle physics up to date. It describes three of the four fundamental interactions. And when the Higgs boson was discovered, this marked the completion of the standard model. And the Higgs boson is a boson that's produced as an excitation of an all-permeating Higgs field, and this field is responsible for giving particles mass. Actually, the UCSB professor, Professor Joseph Incandela, as Sam said, was a spokesperson for one of the detectors that detected the Higgs boson in 2012. And on July 4, 2012, he announced the discovery. So that was a really big thing. And this is what we used to discover the Higgs boson, LHC. It is a 27-kilometer-long supercollider under the French-Swiss border. And just to give you an idea of how hard it is to detect a Higgs boson, we need to collide billion protons just to produce one Higgs. And if we, like, even when we produce the Higgs, it's really hard to detect it because we can't observe it directly. It must be inferred from the decay channels. You might be asking the question, why physics beyond the standard model? Because we discovered Higgs, right? Well, standard model has many deficiencies that can be categorized into three. So the first issue is that it doesn't explain some of the phenomena that we observe today, such as dark matter, dark energy, neutrino oscillations. And the second issue has to do with the so-called fine-tuning problems. So some of the parameters of the standard model are hard to make sense of. For example, there's a hierarchy problem, namely why gravity is so much weaker than the other fundamental forces. Just as an example, it is 10 to 24 times weaker than the weak force. And there's also the strong CP problem, namely why CP symmetry is not violated in strong interactions, while it does so very easily in QED. And lastly, we have the fact that the parameters of the standard model imply a deeper, a more unified framework behind observed phenomenology. So there are many models that seek to address all these issues. And you might be asking the question, so where are these models? So Sam talked about how Higgs could decay into exotic particles. I want to talk about how exotic particles can decay into Higgs and other standard model particles. So thankfully, these new physics sectors are not isolated. They interact with standard model particles, which means they can decay into standard model particles, such as the Higgs. And that's a good thing because since Higgs is the least well-understood member of the standard model, we are still running experiments to investigate its properties. And if exotic particles can decay into Higgs, this means that some of the new physics sectors can actually show up in our Higgs analyses. So we are interested in the following question. Given a model beyond the standard model, how much additional Higgs events do we expect to see due to these new exotic production modes? And this is important because if we can quantify the extent to which these new production modes pollute or add Higgs events to current searches, we can use this number to constrain the new physics models. And to do this, first we need a model. So the model that I tested first was a minimal supersymmetric model. So supersymmetry isn't one theory, but it's rather a property of theories. Theories that have a transformation where bosonic states can be turned into fermionic states and vice versa. So in supersymmetric theories, bosons have fermionic superpartners and fermions have bosonic superpartners. And the minimal here just comes from the fact that we introduced the minimal amount of particles to make the phenomenology consistent. And eight parameters characterize the specific model that we work with. We use a software called SoftSUSE to calculate the relevant parameters. And the new particles that we have are the superpartners. So once we have our model, now we can calculate the actual number of additional Higgs events we expect to see in colliders thanks to these new exotic production modes. So that number is governed by this equation. We have L here, that's the integrated luminosity. That's just, you can think of it as the collision rate. Then we have sigma, the cross-section. That's a primary object of interest in QFD. That basically tells us the probability of an initial state turning into a final state. And we have the branching ratios that Sam talked about. It's just a fraction of particle decaying through a specific decay mode over all possible decays. For example, Higgs has a d-photon branching ratio of 10 to the negative 3. That means 1,000 Higgs out of 1,000 Higgs is only one decays to two photons. And finally, we have epsilon here, that's the signal efficiency. So that refers to the probability of actually detecting the signal once we generate it. And that was the bulk of my work, just calculating the epsilon. So to calculate all these variables, we used the following pipeline. So first, we have to implement our model in software level. So our model is characterized by new particle parameters, such as new masses, new charges, etc. And there's an extension to the Lagrangian, which just tells us how interactions proceed. We use a Mathematica package called Feynman rules to generate the Feynman rules for this new physics model. And once we have the Feynman rules, that will give us information about how to calculate the cross-section, which is what we're interested in. So then we use MatGraph event generator. Basically, what we do is we specify the initial state and the final state, and MatGraph allows us to calculate all the Feynman diagrams that lead to the event that we're interested in. And it also calculates the cross-section for the event, also taking into account this branching ratio. So MatGraph, at MatGraph level, we can calculate both the branching ratio and the cross-section, and thus return as an overall cross-section. And then we used PTIA, which allows us to work out what the strong interaction does to the quarks and gluons inside the protons once they collide, because these interactions are notoriously messy, so it's better to just use a software for that. And then we have a detector simulation. We use a package called Delphi for this. So when a particle flies into a detector, the detector doesn't say, oh, this is an electron or this is a muon. What the detector sees is how much energy is deposited in what kilometers. So Delphi allows us to simulate what the detector sees, taking into account of stuff like resolution, and it constructs the physical objects from there. And finally, we have to put cuts to calculate the signal efficiency. So cuts allow us to distinguish the events that we are interested in from the background events. And once we put cuts on stuff like the leading leptons in the leptonic decay modes, that returns us the probability of actually observing the exotic Higgs production signal that we generated. And this is the event that we're interested in, or rather an example of the larger subset of events that we're interested in. So two protons collide, through weak interaction, they produce a neutralino and a chargino, and these are supersymmetric particles. This is new physics. And then that decays in the standard model like Higgs, two neutralinos and a W, and these can't be detected, so they just show up as missing energy. And we can't detect Higgs directly, so we have to use these discovery modes. So here, true Zs is decaying leptonically. Here, true Ws, it produces two jets and a lepton and a neutralino. And then we have the photonic decay channel, where Higgs decays to two photons through a top quark loop. So once I worked out the efficiencies, this is the table that I got. So this basically is just the probability of actually detecting the signal through this decay mode. And the categories just refer to different jet or leptonic multiplicities that you don't have to worry about. Those are just signal regions. And this is for the CMS efficiencies for the CMS detector, and this is for the ATLAS detector. And now we have all the variables we need to actually calculate the number of additional Higgs events we expect to show up. Now, right now, we're in the process of actually comparing the additional Higgs event numbers to LHC data to see if the signal we generated is a good constraint on the BSM model or not. And future work will focus on repeating the same procedure for various extensions of the standard model. But we won't be working with one specific model like here, but rather we will generate a basis of Higgs plus X signals that we can compare with experimental data. And this will allow us to, one, constrain the BSM models, and two, see how much of the current searches scan, how much of the BSM parameter space does the current searches scan, because if we expect the analyses to not observe any exotic Higgs events at all, that may mean we might have to come up with new analyses. And thank you for listening.
I have a question to start off with.
Sure.
So you mentioned how the detectors can't see, the detectors don't know what an electron is.
Right.
They only see the energy.
Yeah,
if you measure the energy, are you sure from that one detection that it was an electron, or is there some sort of noise associated?
There's some sort of noise. So that's we deal with that in the analysis cuts. So what I did for that stage was I read experimental papers. They basically categorize what is counted as an electron and what is counted as a muon. These are identified by stuff like pseudorapidity ranges or just momentum, and that allows us to actually put different particles into different bins on software level. I implemented this in C++, so that's where the analysis stage comes into place. But yeah, good question.
Thank you for the talk. What are the main assumptions made by your simulation?
By my simulation? Like main assumptions meaning like what the model seeks to address. So, well, supersymmetric models aim at solving many internal fine-tuning problems very elegantly. And this specific one was motivated by search for a dark matter candidate. There are various supersymmetric models aiming at just resolving these fine-tuning parameters, but that was the main motivation behind the model, if that's what you're asking, or did you mean a different thing?
I meant assumptions beyond the model, fine-tuning parameters.
What exactly do you mean? Like, say I have like a supersymmetric model, like the one the parameters that I said. Like, are you saying that? So I made no assumptions beyond the model introducing like new particles and new interactions. That's what characterizes the model, right? Because it just says like there are these new particles and this is how they interact. And the interaction is encoded by a function called the Lagrangian, which is analogous to the classical Lagrangian. And that's pretty much what characterizes the new model, just interactions and new parameters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank the speaker again.